So this is week two of God Willing 2 on flowers and spices. And last week we dealt with the spices issue, and this week we're up to the flowers. We'll be drawing on ideas that we built already last week, but it really stands alone also. So two questions that I want to address here. Well, two plus a third. The two main questions are, do aromatic flowers, fragrant flowers, have kedusha shvius? We're going to define fragrant flowers as flowers that people actually specifically smell, not just flowers that have a scent, that people value for their scent. And then second, do ornamental flowers have kedusha shvius, whether or not fragrant, or potentially, as we'll see, if they have a fragrance but people disregard that, they really like it because of the way it looks. And then the third question that comes out of the first two, we'll discuss briefly, is the question of, if, let's say they don't have kedusha shvius, either one of these, does that mean that I can know, that I can just go buy them? That it's okay for me to actually buy these items, and we'll discuss what that means and what the issues are when we get to that, God willing. So we begin with a discussion of the aromatic flowers and whether they have kedusha shvius. So if you're looking at the source sheet, you want to be at Chaf Gimel. Makar Chaf Gimel is our starting point. The Chazon Ish quotes the Mishnah, which we saw last week, the Vered, the Kataf, and so on. He says that Vered is a rose. We're going to come back to that identification in a little bit. But he says that Vered is indeed a rose. And he says that if something has a smell, that can be sufficient to generate Kedusha Shvius. If you take a look at Source Chaf Gimel, V'hadis Nan Perek Zayin Mishnah Vav, HaVered V'HaKofer V'HaLatom, Yesh Lahem Shvius, right? The Mishnah says they have Shvitah, they have Kedusha Shvius, V'hei Mine Bissamim, K'mo Shpirish Rashi Nidah Chesam Et Aleph, and I'm going to come back to that identification of Mine Bissamim, we'll get there. Ein Livshot to be Kan De Bissamim Yesham Shvius, Tasam Yesham Gam Tam. He says, don't prove from here that Bissamim have kedusha shvius, because Bissamim have taste as well. In other words, this isn't really a discussion about Bissamim that you use in food. It's a separate point. The ikar dina de masnisin hashmi'inan aval gav she'eino ochel chashuv bifnei atzmo. The Mishnah is really trying to teach me that even though these aren't food proper on their own, no one sits down and eats kofar alatom, ela shekoshin bo shemen, what you do is, you literally, it sounds like you pickle oil in it, but I think what he's saying is you use it as a pickling ingredient in oil. Ushar, Dvarim, and other items. V'ikaro l'rayach, and the main function of these items is their scent, that they are adding to the medium in which they are immersed. Mikomakam noig bo shvius, nonetheless shmitah will apply. V'lahavi kemalugma delo mikri shava l'chol nefesh. We don't view it as malugma. Malugma was that medicinal treatment the people swallow. That is not called for everybody. The scent things are considered to be for everybody, and therefore it's sufficient to generate kedushas shvius. Now, the smell he's mentioning is going into food, so that may be something we have to consider. But right now, what he's teaching me is that smell, even without direct edibility, is sufficient to generate kedushas shvius. Are we clear on that? So the question is smell really halachically significant? You have the Gemara in Pesachim, source of Dalit, it's Pesachim, Dav Chavav. Amr Yishuv and Pazi, Amr Yishuv and Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara, Kol Umar Varech, Ein Bahem Mishum Me'ila. Biblical Me'ila, right, as opposed to rabbinic, but biblical Me'ila will not apply to benefiting from the sound of something, as well as the sight of something, as well as the scent of something. It doesn't apply, and there's Xerid de Rabbanan, but that's a separate point. So the Mishnah's Yosef, has this idea that he floats. That's a really interesting idea. He says that maybe since it's Mishnah's Yosef, Aleph Lamed Daled Gimel. You saw the Mishnah's Yosef, no? You saw it? That perhaps the Rabbanan making it significant vis-a-vis Me'ila automatically makes it significant vis-a-vis Shemitah. I don't know why that should be true. And they're crossing with the Rabbanan. I don't understand what he was doing. And not only that, I don't understand why the whole issue is analogous. In other words, the laws of Me'ila are not necessarily the same as the laws for
Shemitah. Right, that was both ways. I mean, just because they're not nihil deraisa, meaning they could still theoretically be a violation of Shemitah deraisa.
Yeah, it works both ways. I'm not clear on why this should be analogous at all. For the flower, and the argument that I would give is an argument that we've used elsewhere. Dafka the opposite, to be strict. Like what Josh is saying, but to add a smart line, when you're dealing with me'ila, right, you have a carbon, right? So the essence of the carbon, everybody looks at it, is the meat. Right? No one thinks about the smell. There's no smell in the basement, b'chaim, and so on and so forth. But you know what I'm saying. No one is thinking in terms of that. Maybe the ketores, the product, is the smell. But by the other items, the smell is an ancillary thing. Whereas for the flour, the smell is its only product. Right? Like what we said regarding the issue of trees. Right? Regarding trees that don't have fruit, that don't have edible fruit, so then their sap becomes more important. So I don't understand why you'd make this analogy. Okay. But in general, the psak is indeed, as the Chazon Ish says, that smell without directed edibility is sufficient to generate Kedusha Shviyas. Roses have a particular problem. The Mishnah said, we saw it, the Mishnah said, vered. So when you ask people, what's a vered? They tend to assume a vered is a rose, right? Varod is even pink. The Rav Matz, the Rosh, Tiferes Yisrael, the Pnei Moshe, all seem to say that it's a rose. The Rambam writes, al vered. Which, and it, you know, that fits, because in Arabic a rose is a warda. So that makes sense, the idea that it will be a rose. It is worth noting that there are two sources that seem to give us trouble with that. One is the Rashi and Nida, which Chazon Ish mentioned earlier. Rashi and Nida writes in source Chavei, Haver Rakover, Min Besamin. You wouldn't call a flower Min Besamin. So that's a very strange thing to say. Min besamim is a term that we use, like for wood that you grind up for its smell. Unless you're going to say he can use kofar to mean a flower. But it's strange. The other thing is, sorry?
People do use rose petals for spicing things.
Right, but it's just, why wouldn't he have called it a parah?
He considered its primary purpose.
To be that?
Could be.
The other thing that I wanted to note, which is taking away really from the vered as a rose, but it's worth noting, various commentators on it say Shoshana. But you should know that not everybody agrees that a Shoshana is actually a rose. Ibn Ezra on Shir HaShirim says, and I brought it in Source Chavav, in the Bar Ilan edition, for some reason, is printed at the end of Shir HaShirim Perek Aleph. So if you go looking for it, that's where you're going to look. But it's actually on Perek Beis Pasuk Beis. Shoshanat Amakim. So he says, Yesh Omim Shu Tzemach Lavan. Some say it is a white plant. V'yesh Lo Reach Tov. It has a good smell. V'ucham Be'od. It is very hot. I don't know exactly what that means. Ad Shei Reichol Yachiv Harosh. To the point where the scent will cause headaches. It's a forceful smell. Heavy smell. V'itachelios Okenia Pirusho Min Sheish. He says it could be that Shoshana would come from Sheish. Ki La'olam Hishisha Alim Levanim. Because it always has six white petals. Gambasil, and by the way, most roses are not red. Most species of rose, is worth knowing, are not red. So he says, and he goes on to talk about it, but his key is that there are six. So I noted for you from Wikipedia, but there are many other sources you can bring for those, just convenient. The flowers of most species, meaning of rose, have five petals. One exception has only four. But roses don't have six petals. So some actually suggest that actually Shoshana is a lily.
It's less puzzling.
Yeah. Doesn't affect Vered, except that they translate Vered as Shoshana. But that's because they're calling a rose a Shoshana, whether it's right or wrong. And Shmos Rabbi also brought you the Medrash in Source Chavzai, and again, not so relevant, but worth knowing. When Hashem tells Moshe after the Egel about the Jews, Avru min haderech asher tzivisim. So the word Avru, I'm sorry, well, the pasuk doesn't say it. The pasuk says Saru min haderech asher tzivisim. So the word Saru is an interesting word because it can mean to stray, but it can also mean to decay and smell bad. If you remember, Onkelos on various terms for decay in Chumash uses that as his term for translation, Sari or Saraya. So the Medrash plays on that and says, because they smell bad. At Sinai, they smell good. Then after they smell bad. And sure enough, the Medrash says at Sinai, they were Shoshanim Uvradim, suggesting that Shoshana and Vered are two different things, although that's not a proof. It's going to be just poetic. But it's a good Medrash to know about regardless. In any case, Everyone seems to take it as a given that roses indeed have kedushas shvius. The Rashba has a tshuva on roses having arla status, which I'm going to mention in a second. And in it, he takes it as a given that roses have shmita. It's the Rashba chilek zayin shuvashin nun vav. And it is assumed that roses indeed have kedushas shvius. The Tosefta in shvius hey gimel, the Rishalmi in shvius zayin aleph. I didn't even bother to bring it for you on here. You probably saw it anyway. Goes to three different parts of the rose. Right? It says rose leaves have Shemitah status. The rose stem, the pika, has Shemitah status, but no fear because it never disappears from the field because the rose bush stays year after year. And the rose root has no Shemitah status, and the Pemosha says because it's used for dyes for animals.
Leaves are petals?
So it says leaves. I think it actually means leaves, which are used. Yeah. I saw someone who had a write-up. He mentioned rose hips. And that may actually be what the leaf is, but I don't know. I didn't look into it.
I would believe that. What is a rose hip?
Isn't that the beginning of the flower?
Is it? Okay. I honestly could not tell you. I should have looked it up. I didn't. What about the issue of Shava L'chol Nefesh? Is the benefit from the rose Shava L'chol Nefesh? So the Gra, in the back of the Yerushalmi, discussed this outright. I wanted to bring it on here, but I didn't have it with me when I was writing up the source sheet. But take a look at the Gra in the back of the Rishalmi, where they have Nesach Aleph, Nesach Beis, and so on. He says outright that even though only wealthy people use roses in oil, nonetheless, everybody could. It's just that they don't. You know, it's luxury. As opposed to Malugma, which is only for sick people. No one in his right mind is going to have it. If you were to go to a pauper, yes, if you were to go to a pauper and offer the pauper, you know, roses, you know, oil with roses pickled or whatever, he would say thank you very much, and he would take it home, and it would be a delicacy. It would be something he would be thrilled to have. If you offer a healthy person a malugma, he says, "What are you doing? I don't want that." That's the idea. So I was bothered by that because the Rishalmi asks about Basamim that they're not shava l'chol nefesh. So doesn't that run counter to what the Gra is saying here? So I sent around in the beginning of the year a commentary that's on Hebrew books for Maseches Shviyos, for Yerushalmi Shviyos, that has the part on the top and the commentary on the bottom for a fellow who lists himself as Rav Meshulam Meshulemi, which is a great name, whether it's his Hebrew name or not. But he says it's different because the roses are used to scent food, taking me back to my point that I made before. That where it's a scent that scents food, maybe that's a stronger thing, in which case it's really just roses. Right? Then I can't extrapolate to others. So everybody does paskin that roses have kedusha shvius, but I wonder, you know. The last two notes on this issue is that, number one, arla is fascinating for roses. Because the bush remains every year. So if you look at the Beis Yosef, at the end of Beis Yosef Yerodeya, Reish Tzadi Dalet, I brought you a piece of it here in Source Chavches. He says, Kasav Baruch Hos Chaim al Atzei HaVered, Kasav HaRaivad, She'en Choshen Lehem Mishum Arla. The Raivad says, we're not concerned about roses, the rose bush, having an Arla issue. V'lo ra'inu Adam Nizer al Zela Olam. We've never seen anybody be mocked for this. V'efshem Ibneishu Safek Arla B'chutz Al-Aret Shemutar. Maybe it's because it's Safek Arla outside Eretz Yisrael, and therefore you don't have to ask questions, right? Va'al ha'varadim, but regarding roses, Tosfos kas v'shechayev ba'arla v'chein kasav harashva. That's the tshuva I just mentioned. The second tshuva he mentions there was the one I was talking about. Uv'makom achar kasav harayv v'nistak beit bozeh. And in fact, as he goes on, many, many Rishonim think that arla should indeed be relevant for rose bushes. You also take a look at the Derech Amunah and the Tziyun Halacha to Maestros. Perek Yud, footnote 54, Nundalat. He gives you more to talk about if you're ever interested in looking into it. It's a problem, because like people buy rose bushes and they plant them, and they don't think about Arla at all, and then they snip the roses and they bring it inside, and that's, you know, it's Hana. So, yeah, I mean, the right thing says, no one cares, but I'm not sure I understand that. The other piece is, if the rose bush is really a tree, as we're suggesting by applying Arla to it, then when we do our Shemitah calculation, do we follow Lakita or do we follow Hanata? So I can't find anybody who addresses this question. I suspect the reason why is because of the season that roses grow in. roses begin to grow, really, to blossom in the beginning of the summer, June, July, and you're picking them by August. Like, you're not leaving them on into the fall. So I suspect your Lakith and your Hanat are happening in the same year, and that's why nobody cares. But it's an interesting question, I thought. I just couldn't find anybody who dealt with it. Okay. The second part of the shiur, and really the bulk of the shiur, is the discussion about ornamental flowers, flowers that do not have a fragrance that we're going to use it for. So we have within this four questions. The first question is a question of whether this is called a pri. If you have a flower that is just used to look at, it looks pretty, a non-fragrant orchid, right? So is that called a pri? And the question is the threshold for pri that there should be physical benefit from it? That's what makes it a pri. Or is that it should just be an important part of the plant? That's our opening question. Once we then, assuming we accept that it's a pri, then we have a couple of other questions that we have to ask. But that's our opening question. So going back to the discussion in the Yerushalmi about ketaf, right? The Yerushalmi said that perach halavan and orez, whether it was a rice flour or whatever the orez thing is, look at different editions on the Gemara, they don't have kedusha shvius because they are nesorta. Right? That was our statement. They are nesorta, therefore they don't have kedusha shvius. Oh, and actually we produced it here, I forgot. Take a look at source chavtas. Bisam and Mashiele and kedusha shvius, do bisam have it? Nashmirim and Hadal will learn from the following, a perach halavan v'ha orez, ein alei and kedusha shvius. They do not have the kedusha. So Chevraya Amri to Rabbi Shimon. So some said that's because that's Rabbi Shimon talking. Don't bring proof from there. It's Rabbi Shimon because Rabbi Shimon said Ain leketav shviyas v'mneisha eino peri. Right? He says ketav doesn't have shviyas status because it's not a fruit. It's not pri. And Rabbi Shmuel b'shem Rabbi Avol said tifter divrei hakoli. No, everybody will agree regarding perach halavan and orez. Why? Bahada nesorta, because it's talking about nesorta. So the question is, what exactly is nesorta? What does that mean? So I'm going to bring three different approaches to nesorta, but all of them, the common denominator between them is that it is something that is unimportant. And that's why it's not a pri. So the Rosh Cirillo says, nesorta was actually a place. And in that place, their perach lavan ve'odem, which is his addition, their white and red flowers don't have a strong smell. So the ultimate result of lacking a smell, lacking a fragrance, is that it is unimportant. That's the position of the Rosh Cirillo. The Pnei Moshe, as well as the Chazon Ish in Yudalit Tes, say Nesorta is Neshurta. It falls off. And since it falls off, it's not a fruit. At what stage it falls off is not clear to me. The Vilna Gaon, you could say it's early on.
It falls off.
Meaning it doesn't stay. When you think of flowers, right? Normally when we think of the flowers that people use, the ones they go and buy, those are flowers that sit on the bush for whatever they grow out of the ground for a month, 6 weeks, like the long-lasting type of a flower. The flowers that we're talking about here is like when you have a flower on a tree, where the flower is there, and then once the leaves come out, the flowers fall off. Cherry blossoms are on for a week, 2 weeks, you know, and then they're gone. So it's that variety of flower. It's really insignificant. You may enjoy it while you're looking at it, but it's not something of substance. The Vilna Gaon has the third explanation I'm going to bring, where he says nesorta is like nesores. Nesores is sawdust, shavings. So these are things that people actively remove. However you slice it, they seem to be saying that that it's a function of non-importance, which leads me to ask, what if you have a non-fragrant important flower, like a non-fragrant orchid? Right? Those are very nice. People pay a lot of money for those. They breed them. So does that mean that it now is a peri? So the Mishnah Yosef asks the right question. Does importance give any part of a plant kedushas shviyas? Is the Mishnah Yosef Aleph Lamed Dalet Aleph? It's in Source Lamed. He says, Heifan matzinu shechashivus no senes letzeva kedusha shvius. Who says that being important makes a plant, gives it shmita status? V'agam sheharashas v'achazon ish hanal kasvush nesorta lo chashiv. Granted that, they said the opposite. The Rosh Cirillo said and the Chazon Ish said that nesorta does not have status, it's not important, v'lochein eidol of kedusha shvius, and therefore it doesn't have kedusha shvius. Zeh necha shemachmas miyut chashivuso batal eitz. That makes sense. that they wouldn't have Shemitah status because since they're insignificant, they're bottled to the wood. And therefore, Kedusha Shviyas cannot affect them. Even if they are besamim, and even if besamim have Kedusha Shviyas, doesn't make a difference. But not the other way around. Saying that even if it has a smell, it's not significant and therefore it doesn't have Kedusha makes a lot more sense than saying it has none of the characteristics of a pri, but it's an important thing and therefore I'm going to call it Kedusha Shviyas. That he says, I don't know such thing. And he gives you an example. It's a perfect example. He says, firewood. Right, the Gemara Bava Kama says they do not have Kedusha Shviyas, and they shein hana sanu b'irun shava, because the hana takes place after you've already destroyed it, right? Like we talked about. V'loho elayim time at the chashivas. The fact that they are important didn't make a difference. You know, we know that anse asaka firewood is hugely important in the Gemara, right? The Gemara talks about that in a variety of places. Now the classic is. The classic is in the Gittin Gemara, the Tisha B'Av Gemara, where they talk about how important the contribution of each member was to the storehouses of Yerushalayim. And this one said he was going to give wheat and barley, and this one said he was going to give oil and flour, right? No, that's wrong. But wine and oil was the second one. And then the third one said, I'm going to give wood a tzivi. And then the Gemara says, by the way, you should know that tzivi is worth 60 times what all the other ones are worth, and Rav Papa would give the keys for all the storehouses to his servant, but he wouldn't give the keys for the firewood. Firewood is really important. So if you're going to tell me that importance matters to convey pre-status on a plant, then I would think orchids should get it also. But I think firewood should get it too. And if firewood doesn't get it, then the orchid doesn't either. So he argues that that importance does not give this flower the status of Kedushas Shviyas. That's a very key point, because if so, we've undermined the entire question and we can go home for the next 40 minutes. We don't need to have a discussion of the rest of this. But even if they do have pre-status, even still, we require Hana'asa Ubiyuro Shava. Right? We require that the benefit occur when you destroy the item, or perhaps, as we said last week, before you destroy the item. But certainly not afterwards, like in the case of the wood. Last week, we saw the Mishnah Rishona, right, which I reproduced here in Source Lamed Aleph. The Mishnah Rishona here is talking about Besamim. And said, you need Hanayasa Ubiyuro Shavah in order for it to have Kedusha Shviyas. He says, V'chola Asu L'Reach Shach B'Shviyas, if it is made for scent, Shemitah is relevant for it, it has Kedusha Shviyas. Dehani Nami, Meriach Behen, Kemo Shehein, Hana Asen Kode B'Yurin, because these items, if you smell them as they are, you benefit before B'Yur, the Besamim. V'im Nosan, and he's good with that. He says, Hanayasa Ubiyuro Shavah includes Hana Kode B'Yur. V'im Nosan L'Tav Shil, and if you put it into the food, so Hanayasa B'Sha'as B'Yurin, B'Sha'as Tav Shil, call it a Reach. Then you benefit from it as it is destroyed, because that's when the taste of it gets into the food, right when it's being destroyed. Like regarding dye. So the position of the Mishnah Rishona regarding Besamim is that you require Hana'asu B'Yerushava in order for it to have Kedusha Shviyas. One source that I didn't bring last week when we discussed this, I ought to have brought it, is the Kilas Yaakov. You look at the Kilas Yaakov Shviyas, which is printed in the volume with Zrayim over there, but it's a standalone. It's not in Zrayim, it's a separate thing within Zrayim, but within the volume that has Zrayim. But in any case, he says in Yutaz Dalid that Le'ochla, that key pasuk, Lachem Le'ochla, means that which is destroyed in the act of using it, not in doing beyond that. He gets it from the word Le'ochla, which I thought was interesting. And indeed, the Rosh Cirillo thought that the Rishami's whole question about is there Shemitah status for Besamim was because we require Hanayasu B'Yerushava. So it's clear that you have to have benefit at the time of the destruction, or potentially earlier, but certainly not afterwards. That's the principle. We require that type of benefit. Now, the question is then going to be: do attractive flowers have that? When is the viewer for flowers? When do flowers stop functioning? I mean, after 3 days, a week, did you change the water? Didn't you change the water? Right? At a certain point, they do deteriorate. Doesn't have anything to do with the benefit you're having from them? you used it up, so to speak, by looking at it. If I looked at it less, then I won't use it up. My hana doesn't destroy it in any way, shape, or form. Now, it may be argued that we don't require hana aso ubiyuroshava when we're dealing with inedible items. It could be hana aso ubiyuroshava is only a requirement when you're talking about an item that people actually eat. Yeah.
Can we say that right when you go and you clip the flower from the bush, that like that already was its destruction? So like now, anytime you're using it, from the time that you put it in the vase inside your house,
and it's like firewood.
Yeah,
I mean, so it's not. So it's not an asubi or shava.
Right. So yeah, the destruction happened. Right. So
yeah. That's the question. Right.
After.
So either way, in other words, that's another way to say there is no kiddush shvius for this. Either the beer is happening irrespective of the hana, or the beer happened before the hana, if I will accept that cutting it was an act of beer, which is an interesting idea. I'm not so sure it should be, because your hana, well, I don't know. I don't know. I want to think about that one. But take a look at Surah Lamed Beis in the Rambam. The Rambam deals with detergent. Mine kivusim, things that are used for laundry, kigon, boris, va'ohel, right? These are plants that, ohel is aloe, that are used in laundering. So kedusha shvius chala alei, and he says they have kedusha umechabsin bohen, and you are able to launder with them. Shnema vaisa shabasa aretz lachem, it shall be for you lachol tzarchichem, for all of your needs. Aval ein mechabsin perish shvius, but you may not launder using shmita produce, meaning edible shmita produce. Veinosin mehem malugma, you can't use it for that malugma medicine either. Shnema vaisa shabasa aretz lachem leochla, because it shall be for you to eat. So the eating minimizes and excludes malugma as well as ziluf, pouring it out on the ground in front of you to get a nice smell in the room, which is what I do with wine all the time. Velola haki, and not to cause it someone to vomit as an emetic, not lemishra, soaking and kvisa, laundering. That may not be done with regular peroshvius, meaning edible peroshvius. It may only be done with the mine kevusim. Those are the things that can be used for laundry. So the question is, what happened to hana aso biyuroshava? How am I able to do that? So the Kesef Mishnah asked that question, and he answered in Source Lamed Gimel. Yesh lomar shalo amru kein ela beperos deshayach le'ochla. He says, that requirement of hana'asu v'yiroshava only applies regarding produce where le'ochla applies. Eating applies. Avamine kvisos, but laundry detergent. The lo shachbam lo achla, you don't have, that's not relevant at all. Shapir misrabu mi lachem. So then that is expanded from the word lachem. Avavishana asam ubiyurum enoshava. Even though the benefit and the destruction are not the same, are not occurring simultaneously. Nonetheless, it will be exempt because it's not an edible thing in the first place. The Rikurkus disagrees. I brought you in Source Lamed Dalid. There is this other perspective. Ma Rikurkus, as well as the Pa'as HaShulchan HaMem Dalid, reject the explanation of Kedusha Shvius. They say we always require Hana'asu B'Yiroshava in order for there to be Kedusha Shvius. However, you have to figure out when your beer was taking place. He says in Source Lamed Dalid, Nirish Adas Rabbeinu Lefarish, Shana Aso Eina Halavisha Dafka. The benefit from this dye, or from the laundry, I should say, is not the wearing. Ela Halibun Vahashriya. It is the whitening or the soaking that we're talking about. That's when your benefit actually takes place. The benefit is in having clean clothing, not in wearing clean clothing. But I think it belongs. He says, if you're using wine for this purpose, so from the moment that you throw in the flax that's being soaked or the clothing that's being laundered in wine, you have ruined the wine, and the benefit from it is only going to come 3 or 4 days later, after the soaking or until when the clothing is clean. Umeata boris va'ohel, but on the other hand, these plant ingredients that are only for laundering, hana'asin uvirin shava, kibe'esha misbora, boris va'ova, vegan miskabes, vavidumi la'achila, he says, the laundry things aren't said to be destroyed in the initial stage. Their destruction only comes at the end when the thing is actually cleaned, and therefore, indeed, you've satisfied the Ochla. So two different ways to explain the Rambam, but the important point that emerges from this is if I take the view of the Mari Kurkus, right, if I take this latter view, then I will say that inedible flowers still require Panasubi Yerushava. Right? But if I take the view of the Kesef Mishnah, then they're going to say that they don't. They're not going to say that the whole requirement of an Ozer B'Rishove is irrelevant, and therefore this whole question is irrelevant. You follow? Okay, so argument number one against saying that non-fragrant flowers have Kedusha Shviyas is to say it's not a pri, and being important doesn't make it a pri. Argument number two is it's not Hana'asu B'Rishove, right? But now, let's revisit that. We have to revisit that question of whether Hana'asu B'Rishove exists for these flowers or not. They do deteriorate, just not as a function of their use.
But when we're saying that Hana'asu B'Rishove, that means there's no Kedusha Shviyas, and there's Kedusha Shviyas, but you don't have to be concerned about that principle.
We're saying that you... No, say that again?
Once we say, Ein Hanasan Biron Shabbat.
Yes.
So does that mean there's no Kedusha Shviyas?
Correct.
Or that means it does, it's just we're not concerned about it?
No, it means no Kedusha Shviyas. Right, see, that's something that I kept wrestling with, because the Mishnah's Yosef seems to play a little fast and loose with this. That's what it seems to me as I read it. There are two different roles for these principles. One role of these principles, and when I say principles, I mean Shavah L'chol Nefesh, Hanasa B'Yerushava, the Chayei Nefesh. One role is in defining whether there is Kedusha Shviyas. The other role is in defining whether this is a permitted use.
Right, exactly.
In a Hanami. But that's why I brought you the Mishnah Rishona, Hilas Yaakov, and Rosh Cirillo. All of them take it very clearly that Hanasa B'Yerushava is a criterion in order to determine whether there is Kedusha Shviyas for it at all. If the normal Hana isn't Hana Asa B'Yerushava, there's no Kedusha Shviyas. And that was our disqualification of the wood as well.
Right
at the same point. Okay. So how do I understand the status of these flowers? Do I view them as Hana Asa B'Yerushava or not? So the Gemara in Bava Kamma quoted the Mishnah in Shviyas, Source Lamed Hey. The Mishnah Shviyas, Sfiche is disvikotza, and these are all dyes of one kind or another. Yeshlem Shviyas, Udmein Shviyas, they have Shmita status. Yeshlem beer, Udmein beer, they have beer. Because they're Kalachem and Asada, fine, that's not important for us. The point for us is they have Kedusha Shviyas. What about Hana'asu B'Yerushava? So Rashi and Tosfos have a disagreement. If you take a look at Rashi, Source Lamed Vav, Yatsu Eitzim, he's commenting on the Gemara of a Kama that quoted that Mishnah from Shviyas. I didn't want to quote you the Mishnah as it appears in the Gemara, because if you're quoting a Mishnah, you should quote it where it appears in Mishnah, not where it appears in Gemara. But Rashi is on the Gemara of a Kama, Kufala Humid Base. Yatsu Eitzim, the Gemara says, we exclude wood, which does not have Hana'asu B'Yerushava. So Rashi writes, Mine Eitzim B'Sh'as Resichas Hayore Kala HaShoresh V'Koli Datzeva. He says, dies when you boil them up in the vat. The dye, the root is gone, and then the dye is absorbed in whatever it is that you're soaking. Nimtzu Hana'asu B'Yerushava. So it has Hana'asu B'Yerushava, because the destruction happens with the absorption of the color, Helkach Kaila Alayu Shviyas, and therefore Kedusha Shviyas will apply to this item. It is ruined when it is boiled for absorption of the dye, which is the benefit. You follow? The same action, boiling, leads to the destruction and leads to the benefit. Tosfos has a different take. He says, Tseba hana asan ubiurin shavet sars lamet zayin. The hana asan kishalo shan. You benefit when you wear it. Va'az hu kala umisbayar hatseba miyom el yom. And that's when the color is destroyed day by day. In other words, the color survives the ingredient that injected the color. And the color is still there. And it's in the clothing. And then you wear the clothing daily, and daily the color fades. Rashi said, as we read, that it's that when you're boiling it up, that's when the dye, the core item is gone, and the dye is absorbed. It's not true. It's not true, because appearance matters in the laws of Shemitah. And therefore, you can't say the ingredient that generated the color has been destroyed, as long as the color still exists. The color is the essence. The point, though, and this is what the Mishnah Yosef says, is that the two different explanations are offering me two different views of how to understand Hana'aso Ubiyuro Shaveh. He says, according to Rashi, Hana'aso Ubiyuro Shaveh means that the destruction comes from the very act which generates benefit. Which is why Rashi is, you know, is emphasizing that it's the boiling that will do both. Whereas Tosfos is saying, no, Tosfos says the destruction occurs simultaneously, even if it's unrelated. You follow?
Why is it unrelated?
Because he's saying that the reason the color fades is not friction from my wearing it. This is the way the Mishnah Yosef understands him. He ties it into the Hilas Yaakov that I mentioned before in Shviyas Yud Tez Dalet, who has a whole discussion about a machlokas we've shown him, which he interprets in this way, machlokas Rashba Ritva. But the idea is that the wearing of it doesn't cause the dye to be, you know, to fade. It fades because of the sunlight. It fades because of whatever is happening environmentally. It fades because it's a poor dye in the first place. But not as a function of your wearing.
That's Rashi's approach.
That is... No, that's Tosa's approach. Tosa's approach is simultaneous. Now, Rashi is saying Hana'aso Biro Shava means the same act generates the Hana and the Biro.
Right.
Tosa's is saying that they just occur simultaneously. That's good enough.
Oh, but from different acts.
Yeah, they can be. They can be from the same act also. Tosa's is broader.
That's not the defining...
Yeah. So applying this to attractive flowers, you could make the argument, and this is what the Mishnah Yosef does in Aleph Lamed Daled Beis. He says, regarding attractive flowers, Tosfos would believe Hana'aso Ubiyuro Shaveh. They deteriorate while they are being looked at, but not because they're being looked at. Whereas Rashi would disagree. But again, because Yaakov's understanding is not the only way to take the Rashba Ritva, and so on with Rashi and Tosfos. But that's his idea. So again, to sum up what we've said regarding the non-fragrant flowers. Number one, is it a pre? Is question number one. Does being important and being a plant product make it a pre? Or do you require some more direct physical benefit of the body, eating, smell that goes into food, something like that? Number two, even if they have pre-status, well, I argue it's not Hana'aso Ubiyuro Shaveh, because the benefit that you get from looking at it, you know, where is that in relation to the beer? And that depends on whether I require Hana'aso Ubiyuro Shaveh at all for inedibles, and the question of how I define Hana'aso Ubiyuro Shaveh. As well as, to go back to Efren's point, how do I define beer? Is beer when it's picked? Also a good question. Okay. That brings us to our next question, which is Shavah L'chol Nefesh. Even if I do say that it is a pre, and I do say that it's Hana'aso Ubiyuro Shaveh, is the benefit from these Shavah L'chol Nefesh such that we'll say it has Kedusha Shviyas? The Gemara in Sukkah, Mem Amud Beis, had the discussion there about using Perush Shviyas for laundry, because everybody needs laundry, right? And it brought the source from that business about the towns and the water and so on, right? So he says, it is Shavah L'kulchem. It is the same for everybody. Rashi there, I brought it for you in Source Lamed Ches, on Marbani Esakvusa Sheshavah L'chol Adam, I include laundry because it's the same for everybody. Rashi explains, Shakol Tzrichim La, everybody needs it. Kamo Achila Sheshavah L'chol Adam, but just like eating, you know, Le'och La is for everybody. So the question now is, would Rashi's explanation then exclude seeing flowers? Because even if it's something that everybody does, it's not something that everybody has to do. Right? So it's not a tzarech at all. I mean, I enjoy flowers, but you know, tzarech is a little much.
Also, would like personal hana come into it? Like if I can care less, like I don't want to see the flowers at all.
So I would say not necessarily, as long as it's something that people generically enjoy, right? Malugma is one thing. We didn't start picking apart foods and saying which ones I like, which ones I don't
right,
like.
Right.
So would Rashi indeed exclude seeing flowers because it's not Shavah L'chol Nefesh? So the answer is maybe not. Rashi might be excluding Malugma which is for sick people. And I had a shiur, I gave a shiur a couple of years ago at the Bayit on medicine on Yom Tov, and whether medicine is called Shava L'chol Nefesh also figures into this discussion. But the but if it's not malukma, right, if it's a benefit that everybody can use, whether they choose to or not, that's okay for Kedusha Shvias. That's sufficient for triggering Kedusha Shvias, like the Chazon Ish that we saw on scented flowers. But that would be the next question, is it called Shava L'chol Nefesh? That's a weaker question in my mind than the question of how to be Rosh Hashava. The last question, even if they have Kedusha Shvias, perhaps that should only affect their damim, right? Perhaps that should only affect the money, but not their use. Okay? Even if they have Kedusha Shvias, that should only affect their value, not their use. And what I mean by that is, let's say they were grown in a prohibited way. Okay? Let's say you guarded them, somebody worked them, whatever. What isser are you violating by looking at them? Right? It's like the classic question in Shabbos. Right? Let's say the newspaper was produced by Isser, outside of the Tchum, Nola, whatever you want to throw onto the newspaper. It landed in my driveway. Am I allowed to look down and see the headline? Is that called a use of it? And don't tell me Kol Marva Re'ach from Me'ila, because who says that Me'ila is the standard? So that's the question here. Let's say somebody walks into my house with flowers for Shabbos, and they're Shemitah flowers. And let's say I believe that they have Kedusha Shvias. Does that mean I have to get rid of them? Well, I can't get rid of them. So whatever, treat them as... does that mean that I have a problem, fundamentally? What's the deal? So the Mishnas Yosef says that there is indeed a Shemitah problem. In Aleph Lamed Dalet Dalet, he says, your problem is it's not Chaye Nefesh. If you take a look at source Lamed Tes, he says, Gam Yesh La'ayin, you should also examine, Im Hanoas Mara Pirchei Hanoi Nechsheves Hanoas Chaye Nefesh. This now, Chaye Nefesh is not about defining it as having Kedusha Shvias, it's about defining a permitted use. Where is he getting this from? Tihine Mavor B'Yerushalmi, it's in the Yerushalmi Shvias Cheshei, De B'Shvias Ba'inan Chaye Nefesh. The Yerushalmi says that you have to use it in a way that is called Chaye Nefesh. De Ka'amar, Man Tana Kvisa Chaye Nefesh, Rabbi Yossi, etc. What we thought of as Shava L'chol Nefesh is when the Yerushalmi they call regarding laundry Chaye Nefesh. Mashma, De Dabar Zem Muskam L'kulei Amma, De Ba'inan B'Shvias Chaye Nefesh. And it's just the Rabbi Yossi says laundry is chayei nefesh, and that's why he says what he says regarding laundry. So he says, looking at them is not chayei nefesh, there's no physical benefit. I thought that was really strange, though. Because how you're sitting down and standing up at the same time, right? You're telling me the benefit is not substantive, but I'm not allowed to do it. Because it's not, the benefit is not substantive enough to be called chayei nefesh, but it's still going to be us.
What does chayei nefesh, what do you mean? What does substantive mean?
That's the thing, I also don't understand what he means, because I thought chayei nefesh there is the equivalent of what the Bavli calls shava l'chol nefesh.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's a necessity, but then is shvia also permitted use, and is that chayei nefesh? I mean, where? But what is chayei nefesh and what's not? I mean, is this the only exception?
I don't know. It's a very odd. I didn't really follow what he was doing with this. But there is a meta problem involved, and I brought you the Chashuke Chemed on this, on that Gemara in Sukkah, Mem Amud Aleph, dealing with the case of Osa Sukkaso Begina Sheish BaEitzim Shenishtalu B'Shmita. You want to put your sukkah in a garden where there are trees that were planted in Shmita. Sheila. There are beautiful gardens that were planted for the sake of the decoration that were planted in Shemitah. Am I allowed to make my sukkah there? I'm benefiting from trees and flowers that were planted in a prohibited way. Tshuva. Letter of the law, you're doing nothing wrong. Someone who plants in Shemitah should uproot it. But if he doesn't, then Peros Mutarim. He says, I'm allowed to have that fruit. then certainly I'm allowed to have these the benefit from these trees. If you're going to benefit from those trees, you show you're not bothered by chilul shvius. That's chilul Hashem. He says you should close your eyes and not enjoy those things that are benefited, that are planted inappropriately in Shemitah. And then he quotes you the Chazon Ish regarding the use of electricity that was generated inappropriately on Shabbos, and how a person who uses it is showing he's not troubled by Chilul Shabbos. And he says the same thing is true here. I'm just summing up as you go through it. You can see it for yourself. He gives you an example. Actually, I'll dip back in for the Yerushalmi that he brings 6 lines before the end of the source, 7 lines before the end of the source. V'nemar b'Yerushalmi Shvi'is Tesvav, he says. V'zel Ashonu. Rabbi Chizkiya v'koyim b'shuka de'kesar. Rabbi Chizkiya was standing in the market in Caesarea. Chami chad tayun olal min isurei. Hafach apoy de'lo mechmine tani perek. Is that part of it? Either way, I should have looked back at this before. I looked at this Yerushalmi a few weeks ago. But the point that he's making is that someone is standing there in the market, Rav Chizkiya is standing there in the market in Caesarea, and he sees somebody carrying Isser, and he doesn't. He turns away so that he won't see him. Why does he do that? Kidei she'yaza makamo achiyach. And so on and so forth. The bottom line is, he says, you should not. You should look away. You should be osim einayim mira osra.
You're a sheriff.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I wrote that in. I really looked at this a while ago. I'm going to tell you a story that I heard from that you'll enjoy, and you can use in a shir. I'll tell you after Beth and Nesivos. Pirish. Rabbi Chizkiya ra echad aparik masa shal perish vishalata mishuk shal kesarin. Havach Rabbi Chizkiya is panav kide lochiach anshe mekam. No, you know what? I don't think I wrote this. I think this is probably the Chashuk Echemed who wrote it. I would remember that I wrote it. But in any case, you see the point. You see what he's trying to say. He's trying to say you should not look, you should not benefit. That's inappropriate. So therefore, the fellow who asked the question about the sukkah, he should not be building the sukkah there. And then to apply it to our discussion, the same thing is true here. That's it. Yeah, it's in the Chashuk Echemed itself. Okay. In any case, going back to our discussion, that meta problem may be an issue. So, bottom line, what do you do with this as psak? So, the Sefer HaShemitah quoted the Mishnah Yosef, and many others say that if a flower lacks taste and smell, it has no kedush shvius. It's not like it dies, which serve a person's body in need. Seeing them is not. The Mishpatei Eretz quotes the Shlomo Zalman to say, even if they have a smell, but that's not what people use them for, then you're okay. So it's funny, I listened to an audio of someone from one of the Vade Akashas. I think it was the CRC Chicago. I had this 10-hour drive back from New York from Pesach. So I downloaded a bunch of audios to listen to. So there was one this year from a fellow from the CRC in Chicago. And he talked about how he had gone to owners of flower stores to ask them, so are people buying these flowers for the smell, or are they buying them for the... So I don't think it's so easy to define. All right, last bit in this shir. If there is no kedusha shvius, am I allowed to buy them? Does that mean that I'm allowed to buy it? So the Matani Eretz has a discussion with Shlomo Zalman regarding the issue of Svichin and whether Svichin will apply to items that do not have kedusha shvius. So Shlomo Zalman takes it as a given that Svichin do not apply where there's no kedusha shvius. The Xeris Svichin, that which grows on its own, is also off limits. That only applies if it has Kedusha Shvius, and he says, I'll prove it to you. First of all, he says, because Svichin doesn't prohibit plants that started growing in Shemitah, continued to grow after Shemitah. If it really applied to everything, then it should apply to that as well. That's number one. Number two, he points out the Rishalmi and Maestros, which I brought you here in Source Mem Aleph. The Rishalmi writes, Rabbi Yirmi Aboi, Rabbi Yirmi asks the question, Karkamin Mausheyu Mutaran Mishum Svichin. Are Karkamin allowed? Are they a concern? The Karkamin is just like straw. It's not an edible food. So, Hesiv Rabbi Tanchum Bar Yirmi, Rabbi Tanchum Yirmi says, what do you mean? He asks the question, Bataninan. You're not allowed to buy flax, even if it's combed, and therefore you might think it was processed from elsewhere, from some other time. You're not allowed to buy flax from someone who's suspected of violating Shemitah. Upishtan lab kismin who? Isn't Pishtan kismin, which is like karkamin, as I added in brackets. It's the same thing. So if the Pishtan is off limits, so too the karkamin is off limits. But Amar Chinana mipnei zara, I added Shebisofa. Chinana says no. Pishtan is unique because it has flax seed inside, which is off limits because of Shemitah, and therefore Svichin will apply to it. However, Svichin will not apply to the karkamin, which is just straw. That's the idea. So Shlomo Zalman quotes that and says, see, it doesn't have Kedusha Shvi'is and it doesn't have Svichin. Why should I say that? Because of the Sifra in Source Membeis. The Pasuk in the Torah in Parshas Bahar, a Sifiach Kitzircha lo Siktzor, you shall not harvest the Sifiach, right? Mikan Samchu Chachamim ala Svichin Shu Asur B'Shvi'is. That is linked, it's Asmach, it doesn't make Svichin a Del Raisa, but the link V'Gezerah to that Pasuk. So therefore, only things that have Yusha Shvi'is that are subject to that Pasuk will be subject to the laws of Svichin. And therefore, if the flowers don't have Yusha Shvi'is, then flowers that grow on their own are fine. That's the idea. The Mishnah Yosef quotes the Bris Olam who disagrees. He says, no, Svichin do apply. And I saw that also in a Sefer from that quoted Rav Chaim Berlin's Ha'ara to the Sefer HaShemitah to say that flowers have Svichin. The Oz Nidbaru, Rav Zilber, brings it in Chelek Dalid, Chuvos, Gimel, and Dalid. He says that there will be Svichin. And he says, look, Svichin is really about Avoda, right? Svichin is don't work the ground. That has nothing to do with Kedusha Shvi'is. Right? I'm not allowed to work the ground during Shemitah, even if I'm a bad farmer and I produce nothing. So it's not about Kedusha Shvi'is. That's number one. Number two, he says, look at my last source here, Hecha Shemitah V'Yogel Dalet Beis, source Mem Gimel. He says, we differ so from Shiukala Svichim Asurin Ba'achila. Rabbinically, all Svichim are off limits. V'lama Gazra Le'en, why? If they over Yavera. Because of people who sin. Shalo Yelech V'Yizra, Tuva Kinyas V'Zeroni Gina B'Self Sadeo B'Seser, lest he go plant various things in secret. Ukshe Yitzmach Yochamayim V'Yomar Svichimayim. And then when they grow, so he's going to eat them. He'll say, just grow on its own. They prohibited all Svichim that grow in Shemitah. So Rav Zilber in Oz Nidbaru says, see that? All Svichim. He didn't specify Peros or things with Kedusha Shvi'is. Everything. And the Chazon Ish entertains this possibility as well in Shvi'is Tes Dalet at the end there. And as far as the Yerushalmi with the flax, he says flax is different because flax is like straw. And since they made a gezerah, and therefore it shouldn't have anything at all. It's not a pre at all. The only reason that they said anything, He says, flax is different. He says, because they made a gezerah against zera pishtan, against the seed, he isn't going to plant it for the sake of just the pishtan itself, the flax itself, and therefore there is no gzeros svichin. But pishtan, flax, has a unique exemption. Don't extrapolate from there. So if they grow on their own, you have a basic machlokes between Rav Shlomo Zalman on the one hand, and Rav Zilber on the other hand, about whether svichin will apply. Clearly if svichin do apply, then I can't buy them. But even if svichin doesn't apply, there are other concerns if they were planted. Right? The Hashu Gechemet that we just saw about not approving of the Isser, and the Mishnah Yosef in Aleph Lamed Dalet Hey has similar concerns. He quotes Misayaya, Machzik Deyovri Avera, granted that it's not literal because you're not actually helping them to do anything. He mentions Marisayin, if assuming it applies for a Derabanan, and he notes also the Pasuk of Loso Chalkot Ta'eva, which according to various Rishonim is understood to refer to things you're not supposed to eat, including plants that were planted by Isser. So if they were planted, then you'll have all these other concerns that will apply, even if there is no kedushas shvius. That's the idea. So aromatic flowers, in the end, we say do have kedushas shvius. Although I have this suffix about the non roses because they're not used in eating. Nonetheless. In terms of the ornamental flowers, we said do not, we generally assume, have Kedushas Shvius, whether it's because it's not a pri, whether it's because it's not Hanasu B'Yeroshava, assuming we require that. The Shava L'chol Nefesh argument, I think, is a weaker argument that we pretty much dismissed. Also the Chaye Nefesh thing was weird. I may even put it in the summary. It's a very strange thing. And then finally, if there is no Kedusha Shvius, I still may have the Isur Svichen, even if they grow on their own. I may have the Svichen issue, that's a Machlokes Achronim. But even if Svichen doesn't apply, if they didn't grow on their own, I have other concerns about approving of aiding and abetting and so on, the inappropriate treatment of Eretz Yisrael during Shemitah. All right, next week, David Ellie, what's your topic?
Exporting.
Exporting.